shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Share and exhort you in the word today, and we have a title for our teaching. It's really in some way a continuation from Sunday's teaching, but I'm calling this The Church Today and Its Ultimate Purpose. The Church Today and Its Ultimate Purpose. Now, as I want to open up with this, to simply say that Christ came to save sinners and establish his church on the earth doesn't tell us the actual ultimate purpose of the church. It's simply telling us the church's function, why the church is in the world today, but it is not telling us about the church's future, its ultimate purpose, what God plans to do in and through her. And this seems to be lacking today in understanding and in experience. You see, to hold to the fact that, for example, with us in FGA, to hold to the fact that we're redeemed, that we are just in fellowship, we're to walk by faith, we come together to worship and praise God, we are to come together to pray and intercede and supplicate. All of that has a purpose and indeed is important in the house of God, but it still doesn't reveal the ultimate purpose of Christ's body, its future, what it faces, and so on. And we're never going to really grasp this all the while that we are consumed with self, my problems, my needs, my prayers, my trials that I'm going through, my problems at home or with my son or daughter or whatever it would be. We know that they are trials and tribulations. We go through all of those. But so often that robs us from seeing the bigger picture that God has, certainly for his church. And that is, of course, why he establishes the cross that we too are to take up in our lives and to follow the Lord. All of this so that we can be delivered from that self-life or that selfish life, so that we can start to see the bigger picture. We can start to become sensitive to God's purpose and plan for the end times. it seems very sad that so much of Christendom really doesn't see or isn't even preparing itself for the coming of the Lord. For indeed, it's lost sight of the coming of the Lord. Here we have Israel that is established now as a nation. Many are going back. Or we're seeing so much of Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And yet we have lost so much sight of God's purpose and plan for the body of Christ, of which you and I are a part of. That is why the Holy Spirit comes to baptize us into the body of Christ, there to function, not to just be a spectator, to be entertained, which so much goes on, but that we are placed into the body, his body, to function. And of course the Apostle Paul clearly indicates all of this in the book of Corinthians. Whether you be an eye or a hand or a foot or a leg or an arm or whatever, it is that spiritual organism, not that organization that so much we see today. So, having said all of this, looking at the church today, its ultimate purpose, firstly, we know, we've been taught over the years, that Christ's mission in the world is our commission. That is, we are to be a continuation of his ministry. Now, I wonder how many of us are experiencing that. We may know that theologically, and we may all agree with that and say amen, but is that my experience? Is this what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through my life? Let's turn to John 20 and verse 21, the Gospel of John 20 and verse 21. And here he is speaking to the apostles, their commission, their great commission to go forth. And here in verse 21, he says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" He says, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now, that is absolutely essential for us to grasp and understand. In fact, I would say that that is something that has need of prayer in your life, my life. That is something that we need to take before our Heavenly Father. Do I know that I have been sent? Is that anointing upon me? Have you empowered me that I can go forth as Jesus went forth, as the early church went forth, as the disciples went forth? I wonder how many in FGA have actually ever considered this and sought God about this. Because it is there. Now, that doesn't detract from the fact that we believe in Revelation 12, that the man-child is developing, that God is to take this man-child, this overcoming company, the first fruits to himself. We know that. We are experiencing that. Yet we also see here that this, in the context of what we're talking about, why we're still on this earth, we too are to be sent. We are to be sent in our everyday situations, whether we find ourselves at work, at home, all the practical things which God is, whether we go out or whatever we do, Do we go out with that understanding that I'm being sent today? My walk this day is for a purpose. The Lord has gone before and prepared the way. Therefore, wherever I go, whatever I meet, whatever befalls me, or whatever it would be, is because of the fact that I have been sent out into this world. See, Jesus knew of this experience. The early church knew of this experience, and yet it is something that lacks so much in these last days. And it could well be that it is not something that we seek God about. I am convinced, in fact we know because we see it in the scriptures, a lot of Jesus' prayers and praying even through the night was all connected with the fact that he had been sent by his Father. And I believe we need to get that one from our heads to our hearts. And secondly, as we look at this, what was Christ's mission? Well, he came, obviously, to save, we know. He came to reveal the Father to us. He also came to fulfill the law of the prophets. He also came to reveal and show to live a good and righteous life, to live a life of total faith. All of this we know. He came to reveal the truth, for he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, to lead us to the Father. All of this which we know, because we see it in Scripture. We know that he came to seek and save the lost, which includes you and I. He also came to save Israel, even though at the moment she has rejected her Messiah. All of this is true, but it doesn't embrace Christ's central mission and purpose. And if we aren't sure, then we cannot fill the ultimate purpose, which is the kingdom of God. The problem is that we have today is that we're just saving souls and establishing churches or organizing Christian things. This is all we ever really see around us. It's our concept, it's our understanding. We see very little of the early church, what Christ left that's in function. We haven't experienced of this. We don't really see it. You can travel all around the world, and I'm not saying that FGA is the only one, but we won't find much of what the Bible reveals as God's true functioning church. Brother Freeman often emphasized this. It's not really around to be found. So what do? Well, God is establishing it through us. This is why we are a work in progress. This is why he's establishing the understanding, the revelation, the experience of the kingdom message. It's not about FGA. It's not even about you or me or being in fellowship with all of this. It's much bigger what God is revealing and showing and restoring. This is why we're in the times of restoration. And for this to be taking place, this is why we are seeing in Ephesians 4, God restoring those fivefold ministries of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the equipping of the church, of the saints and everything, it has to be equipped in order to have this proclamation, this teaching, this revelation, this restoring back to the true body of Christ, to the apostolic faith. And I know sometimes this can be very frustrating. One can feel, well, is anything really happening? We hear this, but there's not an awful lot to be seen. So often when God works and he does a thing, you don't really ever see it until it's manifested. It's often a mystery. It's often in its embryonic form. It's a seed that's being sown. We know it's there, but we don't see much of it. And I think God always I think he has a plan, a purpose why he works like this. When he reveals something, he can often do it quite quickly, quite dramatically. And there is a reason for that, I believe. Because if we start to fully see this, we will try to control it. Man will try to hinder it, defile it. Church history reveals this. So often through the centuries, through revivals, where God has manifested his glory and so forth, sadly it ends in what starts in the spirit, ends in the flesh. Why Paul even shows us this in the book of Galatians. It's just that man wants to take over and be in control. This is why I have always believed this is to be a short, quick, sharp work that God will do in the latter rain. And it will move probably so quick that man won't have time to try and organize and manipulate and control. And this is also why we're being so highly trained, so that we have such a fear of God that we dare not touch it or try to organize it or whatever. It is for God's glory. God's glory is to fill the latter day house of God, his church, his called out people. So, the problem that so much that we have today with the understanding of the church is simply just to go out and save souls, establish a church or an organization or a mission or whatever it is. That's pretty well what we see and understand of the church. And this is why so often man labels it or gives it a name or it becomes denominational. And the problem is that that way and understanding of starting a church up, it just leads back to a denomination. That is why we know that denominations are fundamentally roads that lead back to Rome, to harlotry. And God isn't going to have this for the last day. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Matthew 5 and verse 17. We know why Christ came. For example, it says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And he goes on about earth passing away and everything, but his word, his law, will be fulfilled, will last forever. So Christ came to fulfill, as we know, the demands of the law, which no one could keep, not even Israel could keep. So it starts to tell us the nature of Christ's mission. You see, Jesus reveals his purpose And let's turn to Luke 16 and verse 16. And we get a glimpse here of the purpose of his ministry. Luke 16 and verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. So, in other words, since the time of Christ, and as it says, since John, it has been preached, and everyone now is pressing into it. In other words, it has been revealed. Christ came to reveal his kingdom, that he's coming back with his kingdom, and we now press in for it. That is the vision. That is the message. And John the Baptist saw this, and he called man to repent, because he saw the kingdom coming. And he saw the one who's bringing his kingdom, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Jesus, whom he baptized. Anything other than that is not large enough to reveal the concept of God's kingdom and glory. If you are preaching anything other than that, you do not see the bigness of God. You do not really see what the church is about, the church's message, what it is believing for, and what is to be established upon the earth. That is why Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our calling. That is what we believe for. What is established in heaven is established on earth. On earth, what is established in heaven. You can't divide them. That is why the apostle said that we're now spiritually seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. These are not just mere words or expressions. All of this is for a reason. This is to be experienced, is to be known. So the concept has to be large enough. And we see it in the Lord's Prayer, because all of this embraces the Old Testament and the New Testament. It embraces the whole Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. The reign and rule of God on earth, as it is in heaven, was God's purpose in the call of Abraham, who was to walk by faith. We're now of the seed of Abraham. It was to be the establishment of Israel. Israel, out of all nations, you only have I loved. Israel, under the Old Testament, was the only nation that had revelation of Yahweh. None of the nations had any revelation of God. They were pagan. No idea. But Israel did. In the advent of Jesus, is to rule and reign. That is his purpose, is to rule and reign with his church, his bride. That's what we are pressing in for. That is what we are being prepared for. That is why we look up now, because our redemption draws nigh. We are being prepared, trained to rule and reign with Jesus. We have tremendous ministries waiting for us in the future. not only just now, but what lies in the future. What God is doing with you and me now in preparation is for the future. When he comes to return with all the saints to rule and reign upon the earth to establish his kingdom. The paradise conditions. To rule and reign for 1,000 years. You have ministries in that time. Great authority, great anointings will be placed upon you, for you are a royal priesthood already, as is what the scriptures tell us. And when we grasp and learn that he came to establish a kingdom of righteousness on the earth, and it's to be populated, and of course he came to do that at the first advent. Messiah came for Israel at the first advent. He did, but she rejected him. She couldn't receive their king coming in, riding on an ass. They were looking for a great leader to put down Roman oppression. He was a stumbling block to them. They couldn't receive him. They rejected him. We all know of all of this. And so, of course, he was handed over to the Gentiles and he was crucified. And they said, "Let his blood be upon us." But Christ came to establish his kingdom on the earth. But Israel rejected it. Has all of that changed? No. Israel, we know, is put to one side for a season and she will be restored. She will be reborn again. We know that. For what purpose? So that she can play a part in the kingdom of God. She will not be left out. She will be there in the millennium. We know that the disciples, the 12 of them, will minister through that time to Israel. That is their ministry, their calling. Our ministries are going to be more to the Gentiles, restoring them back to worship, restoring them back to the understanding of God. Why is it going to take 1,000 years? Because of the state we now live in. Man's mind is reprobate. His mind, his heart is seared. The nations are pagan. You don't hear the name of Jesus now proclaimed other than in swearing. That is how far man has fallen. And the church has fallen through the ages. But through the outpouring of the Spirit now, through the baptism of the Spirit, he's restoring back the revelation, the understanding, the power, the anointing of the church. And how is he doing it? He's doing it through you and me. Not through bricks and mortar, through buildings. I'm afraid, really, those buildings that we see around those cathedrals, they're nothing but old museums. They're not the church that is spoken of in the Word of God at all. The church is the people, you, I, wonderfully set together, baptized in unity, in oneness, in fellowship, under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God can do that. And he does this by redeeming us by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So, he came to establish a kingdom of righteousness on the earth, and to populate this kingdom through the redeemed, through his blood that he has shed. Then we know the purpose of salvation and the establishment of the church. This is why God has shown that the church is within the kingdom. The doorway to the kingdom is in the church. That is what we preach. And it is a door that is open, the Bible tells us. It hasn't been shut. So all that want to enter in can enter in through that door. But I think we're going to find, as we get nearer and nearer, we're going to learn more and more what it is to be desperate, to press in, and the violent take it by force. Sometimes God has to make us a desperate people to get desperate things done. But that is where the kingdom message is. That is where the door is into the kingdom, set right in the midst of you and I. Our message, what we preach, what we believe, what we proclaim to a dying world. And so that is why the church is not an organization. It's a living organism, alive, functioning, breathing, pulsating, revealing to the world that Jesus is alive today, revealing him personally, not through some doctrine or creed or denomination, but presenting to the world a personal risen Lord Jesus Christ with the message that he has given. We know that God gave this to the saints, to John the Baptist, I've already shown you this, to Jesus Christ himself, who in turn commissioned the apostles, as well as the church, with this same message. Let's look in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verses 12 to 25. Acts 8, verses 12 to 25. But when they believed, Philip, he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what you do. That is New Testament baptism. You baptize into the name of Jesus, not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The revelation is Jesus, now that he's risen, seated at the right hand of God. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. So there was something very powerful, very profound that's going on here, that influenced this man, saying, give me this power also, that anyone to whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Oh gosh, how many have we got today fall into that trap, these charlatans begging for money for their ministries. It's no different. You have neither part nor portion in the matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this, your wickedness and pray for God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. So there we are. That's what happens when you harbour all these things within the heart. You cannot experience, you cannot really see what God is actually doing. And that is why God is doing such a deliverance in the house of God and also in FGA. So that our hearts are right and open before God, with no other motive other than for the glory of God and to proclaim that kingdom. What is the mission? Well, we see in John 20, verse 21. John 20 and verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you," which I opened up with. So there we are. You see, in the New Testament, Jesus, it's interesting that when you study the New Testament, Jesus only actually refers to the church twice, and the kingdom of God over 100 times. So there is the difference. It is only just mentioned twice, but over 100 times with regard to the kingdom of God and what pertains to the kingdom. And so we find that after Christ's death and resurrection, his teaching hasn't changed. We know this because we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, "To whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to" what? The kingdom of God. So when Christ rose from the grave, he was seen for 40 days, and what was his message? It was still a continuation. It hadn't changed. And that is what he was teaching them. He was revealing to them. He was showing them things about this message, this kingdom that he has established. He's revealing this to them. That is what you are going to reveal. That is what you're going to show. That is what you're going to teach. And that is what we need to see and be given from God. There is so much more to the kingdom of God that needs to be revealed to us and to FGA. And we need to make this a source of our prayers and intercessions, both individually and corporately. In fact, it was Paul's teaching as well. If those disciples didn't continue to obey there in verse 3, what Jesus said in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul would not have had a message to preach. It's a continuation. And this is why the powers of darkness try to destroy this teaching of the kingdom of God and what it pertains. He hates it. Do you know why? Because Christ's kingdom is going to put down his kingdom. And we are heading very quickly to where we're going to see these two kingdoms in conflict. We are not far away from it. So it is important that we know what kingdom we're in. Whether the kingdom of self that is found in the first Adam, or the kingdom of God that is found in the second Adam. It is important to know where we stand in this. It is also important, as I bring this to a close, to know what your proclamation, what your message, your commission is. And that is that you are sent. He has already said this. But to know also that you are sent, because if he sends you, he's going to send you equipped. No soldier goes into the battlefield without being equipped. And so we know that in our preparation, in our training, we're being equipped. We know this. We know what God is doing with us. And we know that there are some, I believe, shortly are going to know this being sent, because they will be equipped for it. But when you are sent, you are also sent with a message. And that message is, repent, for the kingdom of God is soon to be established. And I believe that that is the only message a dying world will hear. They do not want to hear about whether you're an Anglican or a Baptist or a Roman Catholic, or whether you have a ministry of 2,000 or whatever it would be. I'm not saying that a lot of that is not of use. What this dying world needs to hear is that there is a message, a good message, that pertains to the kingdom of God. And as Jesus said, this kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what you say, what you do, is already established in heaven. And therefore God will bless that. God will recognize that, and he will work through you, because it's already established in heaven. Therefore, you are simply continuing, going forth, ministering by the Spirit what is already established, fulfilled in heaven. Before I close, let me give you an analogy, an example of this. Very often I find when I minister, or I'm to minister the word of God, or sometimes I'm called to minister to people, or they need maybe deliverance. The Holy Spirit soon showed me many, many, many years back, you have to birth it through. You pray through what is already established in heaven. And it might be a day, it could be a week. It might include prayer and fasting. So that when you go and you are sent to go, you are simply doing what is already being birthed through by prayer, by intercession, how the Holy Spirit leads. That gives you a confidence. It gives you that understanding, that faith, that this is birthed through. This is already done. It's accomplished. I simply need to go forth, whether it be laying on of hands or proclaiming or sharing or whatever it is. So that is the idea of what we're talking about, where the kingdom of God is concerned. And that is why we learn the word of God. That is why we come together like we do. This is why we take things away and we pray, we intercede. We pray and intercede for our own ministries and for the church. And if God is beginning to move you in a situation or alongside a person or whatever it is, or for ministry, then you get in prayer, you birth it through. And that may well include spiritual warfare, because the enemy will not want that, as we well know. So that is the idea of how some of this works. This is how Jesus walked in his earthly ministry. This is why he spent much time and prayer sometimes right through the night. I'm always interested that Jesus prayed through the night, and the following day he started to call his disciples, "Come, follow me." That had to be birthed through first. He had to get a revelation, an understanding of that. That had to be established in and through him. So all these blessings that are found in the kingdom of God have to be birthed through you and I into our hearts in order for it to become reality. And that is how I am convinced, I believe, that the greater works will come in these last days. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know that teaching is such a blessing, is so important. But Father, we are aware that some teachings are extremely important. And they're so important that we have to take them away. And we have to wait on you. We have to pray, intercede, seek you, so that you can establish this more and more in our thinking, our understanding, and in light of Scripture. But one thing we're learning, Lord, tonight, that is that you are making this a living reality. This is not just mere theology. It is your kingdom being established upon the earth. And this is why the powers of darkness are fighting like they are. Because Satan's kingdom is soon to be put down. We know this. But Lord, we are aware that we are living in very real times. Times of great trouble and confusion, wars, rumours of wars. We are living amongst pagans, men's hearts hardened by sin and unbelief, the church failing miserably in her message and witness. But all of this, Lord, is to tell us something. That here am I, use me. It is easy to point the finger, it's easy to criticize, but it takes a man or woman of God who will stand in the place and say, use me. And I believe with that heart and spirit, that is how your church in the last days will be restored and be built and be seen again. Thank you, Father, that you have called us out of bondage. You've delivered us from harlotry, from religion, from its hypocrisies, its lies. Father, you're doing such a great deliverance with each of us. And we want to give you all the praise and all the thanks. But we know, Lord, that there is so much more. There is so much more to press in for, to seek, to know, and to experience. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you for our fellowship. I thank you for bringing my brothers and sisters into the room. And I pray you'll abundantly bless them, ever preserve and keep them. Keep them whole in mind, body and spirit. Father, I confess the stripes of Jesus over my brothers and sisters, that they were healed, delivered at Calvary, and that you will renew their youth like the eagles. For this we ask in Jesus' name.
The Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.